The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We're located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning, thanks to the wonders of Zoom and the internet, we are as close as your home to those of you who are not here in person and are on Zoom. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to nurturing the spirit and transforming the world. I'm Preston Lutwiler, President of the Board of Trustees, and I want to personally welcome you this morning. We have a lot of guests here this morning. It's great to see. Wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. If you're visiting us today on Zoom, you'll notice in the chat a link to our virtual visitor card. This is a way for you to connect with us and us with you, so please fill it out at any time during the service. Our Soul Matters theme for April is awakening. And as we watch the daffodils bloom, Phil, your daffodils are looking wonderful outside now. And as we watch the trees leaf out, we're inspired to awakening to the natural world and embrace our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part. Last week, we heard from John Thomas, an elder and goodwill ambassador for the Delaware Tribe of Indians in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. John will actually be in Collegeville at Ursinus this week, and I hope that some of you take the time to participate in activities that will be held at Ursinus and at the Perkiomen Valley Schools today and later this week, welcoming the Lenape back to their homelands. Flyers and more information on those activities are in the lobby. In the course of working on the service last week, I had several opportunities to speak with John Thomas, and I came away from those conversations with an appreciation of how the Lenape, for more than 10,000 years, lived by many of our UU principles, and particularly the seventh principle. I've also been involved for many years with a local organization, the Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy. Some of you may have participated in one of their annual stream cleanups. John, I know you and several others have done that. The Lenape Challenge, which will be held this year on Saturday, April 23rd. Their educational programs teach about the interdependent web of life. Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd, and I hope that you all think deeply and reverently about our planet and about our seventh principle. We are all connected to each other, to the water, air, land, and sunlight that we share with all living things on this amazing planet. Now, Phil Manos will now read our chalice lighting words and light the peace lamp.
Good morning. Our chalice lighting words this morning are by Ola Abbott. As we light the chalice and fully embrace the sacred space created here this morning, please hold in your hearts the Unitarian Universalist seventh principle, which calls upon us to respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are all part. As I light the peace lamp, your response will be, and with all the people of the world.
May peace be with us,
and with all the people of the world.
Thank you, Phil. Our gathering song today is hymn number 361, Enter, Rejoice, Come In. The words and music are by Louise Ruspini and the arrangement by Betty Wilder.
Thank you.
I've been on many wildflower walks with Link Davis, and I've been on A Perky Omen Sojourn by Kayak. Linda and I buy native plants from PWC for our garden, and there's some information about PWC, including their native plant sale, out in the lobby on the credenza, so check that out, especially if you're interested in some native plants. We've invited two members of the current board of directors of PWC, Jonathan Rindy, who I have known for many years, and Rebecca Jeroff, to tell us about PWC. Hopefully you will see that their staff, members, and volunteers live our seventh principle, and that what they do is very UU.
Thanks, Preston. My name is Jonathan Rindy. I'm here with Rebecca Jeroff. We're board members of the Perky Omen Watershed Conservancy. We know that members of the congregation have participated in our events, but many of you haven't. We'd like to change that. We understand the theme for the congregation in April is awakening. And as you know, April 22nd is Earth Day. So we'd like to discuss with you how the PWC is awakening the public with regard to the environment within the watershed. We'll start with a video regarding the history of the Conservancy that Preston helped put together. Then I'll talk about our community outreach events. Becky will discuss our educational programs. And we'll conclude with another video regarding an exciting new educational tool that was just christened on Friday. So Mike, the video.
The Perky Omen Creek watershed is a diverse, valuable natural resource encompassing 365 square miles and 57 municipalities in Berks, Bucks, Lehigh, and Montgomery counties. Originally inhabited by the Lenni Lenape Indians, early settlers moved along the creek using it as a source of power for the mills that dotted the landscape and in the wintertime for ice harvesting. The Perky Omen Creek became a vacation spot for Philadelphians, who used the railroad to bring them to resorts and summer cottages found along the creek. Here they could enjoy the natural beauty of the creek with abundant plants and wildlife. The Perky Omen Creek has inspired people from all over to paint, take photos, and compose hit songs about the creek's beauty. The song Waters of the Perky Omen was written in the 1920s by Al Dubin and Henry Klickman. However, the popularity of the Perky Omen could also have been its demise. Increased human use and activity in and along the creek degraded the water quality of the Perky Omen. The surface water system could not carry away an overload of agricultural, community, and industrial pollutants. These pollutants caused the growth of aquatic vegetation, which held a layer of scum and algae on the surface. Recreation was written off. No boating, fishing, or swimming in the Perky Omen Creek. And then, 50 years ago, a small group of local residents led by Barbara Paul brought awareness of the conditions of the creek to the public. Barbara started a petition drive, getting 2,000 signatures to present to a local, state, and federal officials asking for assistance in cleaning up the Perky Omen. This was the start of the Perky Omen Valley Watershed Association, the predecessor of the Perky Omen Watershed Conservancy, a nonprofit organization composed of volunteer community members and a dedicated, hardworking staff. The group's mission is to conserve and protect the natural resources of the Perky Omen Creek watershed. Perhaps you've heard about, volunteered, or participated in one of the Conservancy's many programs.
Thank you.
So there are new challenges that the creek faces now 50 years later, and the Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy is addressing them. The Conservancy removes acres of harmful invasive plants, including the European water chestnut, that threatens to choke the life out of local ponds and creeks. Stormwater runoff carries contaminants into the watershed. The Conservancy works on large-scale projects turning stormwater basins into wetland habitats to improve water purification and attract native wildlife. Now, these projects are used to educate homeowners on the importance of preventing stormwater pollution. The Conservancy also holds rain barrel building workshops and encourages the use of rain gardens. All restoration projects and cleanups provide fun, educational, and fulfilling volunteer opportunities. The Conservancy's environmental education programs promote active engagement in the natural world. These experiences provide opportunities for children and adults to gain a broader understanding of the relationships between our quality of life and the health of our local environment. But it seems like the hustle and bustle of modern life has divorced us from the nature around us. We no longer relate to the creek on a daily or weekly basis. And this is where we need your help to move this mission forward and onward for the next 50 years. So we need you to tell your friends and associates of the importance of the creek and the value of the Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy. So please consider a financial contribution so that we may all continue to enjoy the natural resources of the Perkiomen Creek watershed.
So as you might tell, Rebecca and I are very proud to serve on the board of the Conservancy. Can we go to the next slide? I'm going to talk about some of the outreach events that we do. Many of them you saw on the video. And these are dates when they occurred last year and the sojourn this year. The Lenape, and these are activities that outreach to the public to bring them into the watershed to learn about the riparian buffer around the creek and the creek. The first one is the Lenape Challenge. This is in its 30th year. It's a connection between the land and the water. We have about 300 people. It's a race. They start from our headquarters along the Perkiomen. It's a 5K race. Up Spring Mountain and down. After they come down and they're out of breath from running up Spring Mountain, they get in canoes. It's two-man teams generally, although we have a one-person event as well. They get in a canoe and they paddle down 3 miles to our headquarters down the Perkiomen. And so we've run that 30 years. It's very popular. People love it, and it connects the land with the water. The Perk to Pub Bicycle Adventure, we started a couple years ago. We start in Green Lane. People on their bikes bike along the Perkiomen Trail down to Collegeville at Troubles End Brewing Company, where for all participants, there's a free beer from Troubles End. This past year, we have several of our board members are beekeepers. And so they donated to Troubles End about 60 pounds of honey, which Troubles End turned into a beer. I'm not a beer drinker. My wife told me it was delicious. And a portion of the proceeds from that beer went to the Conservancy. The last thing we have up here is the Perkiomen Creek Sojourn. We have about 250 kayaks and canoes that take people down the Perkiomen in waves. We have educators talking to those participants about the creek, about the riparian corridor, and how important it is to our daily life. Next slide, Mike. We don't stop in the winter, we do some winter fun stuff. The Freeze Up 5K is just a 5K that we run. In recent years, we've run a snowshoe race, the Snowshoe 5K, where participants in snowshoe raced around Spring Mountain. I'm not a snowshoer again, but I heard it was pretty neat. And then in March, we ran another 5K, the March Meltdown. So we try to outreach to the community to tell them about the creek, to tell them about the riparian corridor and the larger watershed and how important it is in their daily life. Not up here, but you saw in the video, is our stream cleanup. We run that every year. It's the largest single day stream cleanup in Pennsylvania. This year we had about 2,000 people participate on that one day to clean up the stream and the riparian corridor. We usually get about 60,000 pounds of trash during the cleanup. This year, because of the storms, we got over 120,000 pounds of trash out of the creek and the stream bank. And then that goes away to dumps, and the stream is that much cleaner. I know some of you have participated in that, and when you do, I think at the end of the day, you feel really good about sort of what you've done and how the stream has benefited from that. I'm gonna now introduce Becky Jaroff, who'll talk about all of our educational programs.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good morning. I also want to point out that those 5K runs, the Freeze Up and the Meltdown, you can walk. I don't run, but I love to walk. So several of us go, and there is also, that's done at the Free Will Brewing Company up in Lansdale, and there's a free beer at the end of that if you so choose. So they're very fun and they're very popular. But we also have a really exciting Summer Science Academy. I'm going to focus on that because it's coming up. And these are week-long camps for pre-K through sixth graders, and they get the kids out of the house, away from their screens, and into the creek to educate them about how important the watershed is, how vital it is to our connection, how vital it is for us to create connections between human and the non-human environment, and they're also really, really fun. For students who have completed fourth to sixth grade, they do a deep dive into what is a watershed, where does the water in the creek come from, who lives in a watershed. They investigate the creek, they get out on the creek in canoes, and they do this, it's a day camp, it's a week-long day camp. For kindergarten through fourth grade, they get their water shoes and they get down and dirty in the creek in the morning. And you know how kids love to play in the creek and how they love to splash around. And you know, as a parent, I'm always like, don't go in there, right? So this gives them permission to get dirty. And then they come back and they bring their lunches and we have picnic tables and then they sit around and they have lunch and they discuss in the afternoon what they found. And there's games and there's crafts and there's puzzles, but it's all really active learning. And as an educator myself, active learning, we know experiential learning is the best way to learn. So we're very excited about those. All of our school programs are award-winning, thoughtfully created through our environmental education staff. And the environmental education programs play a vital role in carrying out the Conservancy's holistic approach. And all of our classes assist teachers in the Perkiomen School District in fulfilling the Pennsylvania Department of Education's academic standards for environmental education. And the motto is, everybody is active. So we also have lots of programs for adult learners. Some of them have been on hiatus because of the pandemic. I don't know if you heard, but we have one. But we do the guided wildflower walk with Link Davis that we've mentioned. I've been on that several times. That's wonderful. We have had some bird watching expeditions in the past, including down to Barnegat Lighthouse, which is a great one because you get to see the migrating ducks that you don't usually get to see. They're down from north of Canada and the Arctic Circle. So please take advantage of the outreach the out and about for everyone, that's what it's called, out and about. And especially the opportunity to learn on our newest edition, The Floating Classroom. And we have a short video about that. As Jonathan said, it just got christened on Friday, but we did have classes out there last summer. This is a project that our executive director just had a brainstorm, found the boat, refitted it himself with some help from volunteers, and has gotten a lot of grant money to support this program. So we're very excited. Okay, Mike.
It's not every day you see a solar-powered pontoon cruising on Green Lane Reservoir, especially flanked by a fleet of kayaks. But this isn't any pontoon. Dragonfly One is the Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy's brand new floating classroom and science laboratory. The Floating Classroom program invites students aboard to explore the lake and learn more about the Perkiomen Creek watershed. Come along as we check out all this unique program has to offer. At the start of each program, trained staff teach basic water safety and paddling skills so students are confident exploring from one of the Conservancy's 20 kayaks and canoes. These skills allow students to engage directly with environmental science topics on the lake from a personal watercraft, guided by Conservancy educators and community experts. After a paddling adventure, it's back to Dragonfly One. Students use the floating dock to board the classroom directly from their kayak or canoe. Throughout the floating classroom experience, students alternate between explorations in kayaks and lessons on the floating classroom and on land. The 24-foot deck of Dragonfly One allows for groups of up to 15 people plus crew, but larger groups can be accommodated using a rotating kayak-to-lab schedule. The deck is the perfect space to learn, investigate, and discuss. All floating classroom lessons and topics are hands-on and include watershed science, ornithology, native plants, aquatic species, water quality sampling, and more. Students discuss their findings with the educators and each other and are challenged to make real-world applications and connections. To make these investigations possible, Dragonfly One has been retrofitted from a standard recreational pontoon boat into a state-of-the-art floating STEM laboratory and comes equipped with a number of key features. Two stereo microscopes with cameras are linked to a Wi-Fi-enabled laptop so students can further investigate, record, and share their findings. Students also have access to fishing gear, water quality testing equipment, iPads, and more. Additionally, the boat has a sophisticated mapping and sonar system to help students locate fish and other critters in the reservoir. Dragonfly One is also a green machine. To reduce our impact on the reservoir, Dragonfly One is driven by a 10-horsepower electric motor from Elko. This, in turn, is powered by a 48-volt battery system, which is charged utilizing 170-watt solar panels and a Victron smart charging system. In short, Dragonfly One is driven by a completely self-sustaining solar electric system, or powered by the sun. The Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy's floating classroom is truly an experience like no other. We hope you can join us on Dragonfly One soon.
Obviously, that's fantastic for kids to get out on the water and do science and STEM stuff. But I will tell you one story. I heard from our educators that there was a little girl who was very nervous about getting into a kayak. And she said, I just want to stay on the boat. Let her friends go off and I'll stay here. So the friends got in the kayak and went away. And she looked at one of our educators and said, I want to go in the kayak. And she jumped in and paddled around. So it's also an empowerment thing for young adults that they wouldn't get that experience elsewhere. Becky and I will stay around after the service to answer any questions, tell you more about the Conservancy. And like Preston said, there's some educational material about our upcoming things like our native plant sale out in the vestibule if you're interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jonathan and Becky. Those of us who worship here regularly worship on the Perkiomen Watershed. Most of us live and work on the Perkiomen Watershed. We can all be thankful for folks at the Perkiomen Watershed Conservancy for the work that they do and have been doing for 61 years. They protect the water of the Perkiomen Creek and the land of the Perkiomen Watershed, and they teach us and our friends and neighbors to respect the interdependent web of life of which we are all a part. Now we'll listen to a musical meditation, hymn number 1011, 1011, Return Again. The words and music are by Tucker and Latifa and Neshama Karlbach.
Matters of the Heart, where we give folks both here in the sanctuary and joining us on Zoom a chance to briefly share things that may be lifting their heart up or pulling their heart down over the past interval of time. We have a bunch of guests here today, so last week's maybe too slim. So we're going to have a brief musical interlude here to give people a chance to share their thought, to gather their thoughts, sorry. And then after that, I will provide instructions for folks here in the sanctuary and folks on Zoom so that they know how to share with us if they care to do so. Everyone, including guests, are entirely welcome to share.
Thank you.
bring this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life. We will have a video pop up here momentarily with lyrics.
Merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. And now Phil will extinguish our chalice.
As we embrace the natural world around us, awakening to spring, we are grateful for the work of folks like those at the Perkiomen Watershed Conservatory, who dedicate their time, talent, and treasure to preserving the natural world and the interdependent web of life which we are all part. We extinguish this flame of the chalice, but not its light, which we will take with us into the budding, beautiful world.
Thank you, Phil. We'll have our closing song, Blue Boat Home, written and performed by Peter Mayer. Following the closing song, Kay Stuhlgruss will give the announcements. Thank you.
I give thanks to the waves upholding me. Hail the great winds urging me on. Greet the infinite sea before me. Sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms. Never harbor or port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. The wide universe is the ocean I travel.